You want to open our Bibles in the book of Revelation. The 4th of October 2010, I put my feet here in Ljubljana for the first time. In these 8 years, I have seen some of our brothers and sisters in Christ go to be with the Lord. Death doesn't respect men. Death doesn't respect women. Death doesn't respect children. I am sure that all of us have lost a loved one during our lifetime. But sometimes we are sad, because we miss them. Where are they? What are they doing now? Revelation 4 and 5 can help us with these questions to encourage us. But the book of Revelation is one of the most difficult books in the Bible. Calvin preferred not to make a public commentary of Revelation. But that doesn't mean that he will not meditate in private. If you come with me in chapter 1, verse 3, say, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." A lot of Christians are completely lost when they read this book. When we go to Genesis, we know that the book tells us about the creation, the fall of man, and the promised seed of Christ in Genesis 3:15. When we go to Leviticus, we know that there is a lot of sacrifice that means a shadow of the sacrifice of Christ. When we go to the book of Kings, we know very well the stories of David and Solomon and others. And we know in what context were writing these books. Also, the Gospels, Paul's letters, etc. But when we are dealing with Revelation, we are lost. Some try to interpret the book in a literal way, according to their own desires, imagination. For example, some say that the eagle is the symbol of states. Others say that in the back of every product is a barcode, and if the last three numbers are 666, you can buy this product because it's from the evil one, it's from Satan. Others say that the mark of Satan describes in Revelation is something the authorities will put in our bodies for identification, etc., etc. And we need to ask ourselves some questions when we are studying Revelation. Is it possible God can give us a book separate from the harmony of the gospel? Is it possible that the Lord can give us a book that we can't understand? The answer of the question 4 of our Confession of Faith of Westminster says, "The scriptures manifest themselves to be the word of God by their majesty and purity, by the consent of all the parts and the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God," etc., etc. Then the scriptures interpret themselves. God doesn't give us a book that doesn't go in harmony with the other books of the Bible. The key to understand Revelation is the Old Testament. Revelation is the first word of the book. Then it is a prophecy. The Greek term describes in chapter 1, verse 1, is esemanir, and that is something really, really important. Because from the first verse of the book, This term, this Greek term, hesemanin, means show by symbols. That we don't try to understand things in Revelation in a literal way or form, but symbolic. Then all these literal things are wrong. We need to see Revelation from heaven to earth, and not the opposite. In chapter 4, verse 1, John listened to a voice that said, "Come up hither." Revelation 4 and 5 goes together. In chapter 4, the Lamb is introduced for the first time. And in chapter 5, we see the Lamb before the throne. When we look at these chapters, we see that God has a plan for every life. And that is the comfort we are seeking in this morning. The Lord knows the day that we were born, and also He knows where, when, and how we will die. It is all in His purpose. All these brothers and sisters in Christ that we have lost have died according to the plan of God. And that brings us comfort and security in the Lord. It was not by chance. All is under His sovereign will. These brothers in Christ in this minute are not sad or in pain. They are happy in a way we can describe with words. Because from our wickedness we are sad. But these chapters give us comfort. We're going to see three main points in our meditation. My first point, I'm going to speak about the introduction of Revelation, because it's really important. After I will speak about chapter 4 and chapter 5. The second point will be God is in control of His children. And the third point will be the children of God are forever with the Lamb. Then first, Revelation. As I said before, we need to know first in what context the book of Revelation was written and for whom. Some scholars think that the book was written about 95 after Christ in the kingdom of Domitian. The Jews always rejected this book for two things. First, because Revelation speaks about the Jews as if they were unfaithful. And second, because Revelation speaks about the fall of Jerusalem. The majority of the church thought that John wrote Revelation. Stephen Smiley and other scholars say that there are a lot of similar things between the Gospel of John and Revelation. For example, both books use the Exodus and similar Christology. Also, both books use similar words like the Word, the Lamb, the Light, John 8, and the Manna. And especially three Greek words are only used in both books. F.F. Bruce said that Revelation is an apocalyptic literature. In the second century before Christ, until the second century after Christ, this type of writings were normal for Jews and Gentiles. Revelation gives us a strong point of view of heaven, with good and bad times. In chapter 1, verse 3, Revelation is a prophecy, yes. Like the prophecies, visions of Isaiah or Daniel 7 to 12. But then we read in verse 4, Revelation 1, if you come with me, Revelation 1, verse 4 and 5. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you. And peace from with him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Then Revelation is also a letter to the seven churches. Revelation describes glorious things that we can imagine. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 4, Paul was taken to heaven, and he said in verse 4 there that he heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. God is using symbols here in Revelation, for we can understand some things. Revelation is the picture of God in a book. When we see the New Testament, the main thing is the kingdom of God. Jesus came to earth, and the kingdom was in a present form because Jesus was in earth. But not all the kingdom of God was fulfilled. That will be in the second coming. In theological terms, it's called the tension between the already and not yet. The Christians were persecuted, or at this time that Revelation was written. Pliny was a consul of Bithynia, and he wrote a letter to Trajano, a Roman authority, asking him what he had to do with the Christians. And Trajano answered him, "The Christians must be tested. If they will offer sacrifice to Caesar or the emperor, they will live. If they don't, they will die." Our Lord Jesus speaks something like this in chapter 2, verses 3. You go with me, chapter 2, verse 3. "And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted." Also, verse 9. "I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. But I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." The Lord Jesus speaks about the persecution of the church. A lot of Christians were be thrown in the jail of Smyrna, and a lot were killed. Look also in chapter 2, verse 10. "Fear not all those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Then the Christians were killed. And we see the contrast in chapter 6, verse 9-11, the souls of all these martyrs that are under the altar of heaven. Asia Minor was a difficult place to be Christian, because in this area it was very common worship Caesar. No one thought that the emperor was God or divine. The sacrifices were considered more like a patriotic thing. If you don't offer sacrifice to Caesar, you were against the Roman Empire. Today, the Christians in Syria are testing in a similar way, in the persecution. If they say that Christ is Lord, they will be killed. If not, they will live. In Revelation, some false teachers of the churches say that the Christians could do these two things. And that was the Nicolaitan sin. For example, if you come with me also in this chapter 2, verses 15. Verse 15, say, "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitan, which thing I hate." And also verse 20. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Then the Christian has three options. First, be faithful to Christ and die. Second, deny faith and have a good time for a while. And third, play both sides. But the only option for the real Christian was practically die. And today we are living in similar times. A lot of people try to be in both sides, and for one part, they want the benefits of heaven. And for the other, they want the benefits of the world. And the question for you this morning is, where are you? Are you one of those who come to the church, but you enjoy the sin of the world? Remember, God knows what you are doing. And that is what John is saying in Revelation. John is writing, telling the Christians, don't be on both sides, because God sees everything. John also is writing to help the Christians. The verb to see is used 52 times in Revelation. The persecution of Rome was the great red dragon. And was red because it was blood. That is the meaning. John is saying, God is sitting on the throne. All is going according to his plan. Today we have the same encouragement that these Christians. All what is happening in our lives follows a purpose. Even things that maybe are painful for us. All these brothers and sisters in Christ that die following the plan of God, like us. And the second point is, God is in control of his children. And now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 4. Explain this chapter 4. This chapter, the chapter 4 and 5, goes together. And John sees a door open in heaven. In verse 1, you can read that with me. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show these things which must be hereafter. John sees an occupied throne. And that is the center of heaven. That is the center of the universe. And the message here is clear for us. God is in control. The throne is occupied. It's not empty. Because God rules the earth. No man. We are not abandoned. We are not alone. God is in his place. And all is going according to his plan. And we don't need to see nothing on earth like a lot of people do. Because here we see there is a door in heaven. And we can ask ourselves, why did John write this? Well, the people in those times were used to see the emperor, Caesar, sitting on the throne, and the evil one provoking problems. We come back in chapter 2, verse 13. Say, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you were Satan.
12.
The noun in verse 3 calls our attention the aspect of who is sitting on the throne, jasper on an emerald. And we can see here the clear connection with between the vision in Ezekiel 1 about the throne of God. You can read that in your home. And now in verse 4, we find 24 elders sitting around the throne of God with wider raiment. These 24 elders are a high order of angels who serve and worship the Lord. Now in verses 5 and 6 is something really interesting. John gives us three things, and these three things are saying the same thing. We see here in these verses the separation of whom is sitting on the throne. The separation of God. The first thing that we can see is John is looking and hearing lightnings and thunderings. Revelation is a book really noisy. And therefore, where there is silence in the book, there is a meaning also. The second thing that we can see there is the seven lamps of fire burn before the throne. And these are the seven spirits of God. And that means that the Holy Spirit is complete and perfect. And that is another wall between God and us, His holiness. And the third thing is the crystal sea of glass that reminds us of the sea that was drawn in Solomon's temple. These three things mean the same thing. It has not access to God holy. And that is really important for the next chapter. Anyone can be beside Him. When we think about the holiness of God, because our sin and wickedness, we can really understand the holiness of God. These cherubims and other angels are not capable to stand before Him. The four divine creatures are also a high order of angels who keep watching the throne of God. In verse, if you come with me, in chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes with him, and they rest no day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, which was and is to come." All the eyes in the six wings of the creatures remind us, Isaiah, that we read before, but remind us also Ezekiel. When we go to Ezekiel, if you come with me to Ezekiel 1, chapter 16 to 18, you can read that. Say, Ezekiel 1, 16. "The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and their four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes around about them four." These eyes means the omniscience of God. God can see everything in your life. God can see your sin. What are you doing in secret? God can see that. He's looking at that. But also, He can see our sadness. God can see that we miss our loved ones. And God knows everything about you. You read with me in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Say, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Is it not wonderful? The Lord is saying here that he knows exactly how we feel. He understands every tear. And he is still telling you, don't be sad. I am in control. All is according to my plan. In John 16, the Lord is speaking with the disciples because he will separate from them for a while. And then in John 16, 22, we find the words and say, and ye know therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And we need to remember the double nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, divine and human. And in verse 23, he says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. And why? We have to think here, what do these words mean? First, our relationship with God will be perfect, because we will not have more sin. And the second, our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ that we miss today will be perfect. Now in verses 7 and 8, these four faces in the four creatures represent an apocalyptic advantage. If you see there, the lion is the king, the horse is powerful, the man is intelligent, and the eagle is quick. These four characteristics are present in the throne of God and in his judgment. God rules, he is king. Like a lion, powerful like the horse, use his intelligence like man, and his judgment will be quick like the flight of an eagle. All the things that we can see here in these two chapters of Revelation help us to understand that God is in control. Yes, maybe you are in the middle of a bad trial. But we need to rejoice because God is in control of his children. Psalm 48, verse 14. Very good text. Say, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 116, 15, we've seen that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we can see here in these two Psalms some teaching. When I remember the death of my father, he had a stroke before he died. And he was working in the middle of the heat. And he fell. And I was thinking, maybe if he had not have worked so hard, we'd be here. But no. Because God is a God of order. That was his moment. And you can apply that for those that die and you miss. It wasn't our fault. It wasn't their fault. Was the plan of God. for the glory of His holy name. Our brothers, they have gone to be with the Lord. They are with Him. They are now in the presence of the living God. And the Lord is telling us this morning, through His word, that they are with me. And you are not alone. I am watching you. Don't be fear. All is going according to my plan. The third point is the children of God are forever with the Lamb. We go now to chapter 5. In chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, John seen a scroll in the right hand of God. This scroll is opened in a gradual way, slowly. The scroll is the plan of God for the universe, and that includes every life. In verse 1, it says that the scroll was written with him and on the back side. When a person wrote a scroll on both sides, that was called epistograph. That wasn't normal, because it was very difficult to write in the vertical parts of the scroll. If anyone wrote in two parts, it was because this person had a lot to say about something and wanted that all will be together. And that is a symbol. Everything that happened and will happen in the world, in history, it is written in the scroll of God. God has a purpose. In verse 4, we find John crying because no one was capable to open the scroll. And the reason John cried is not that John was a nosy person. That is not the reason. In John's times, the law was effective when they read the scroll, not when the scroll was written. Until the scroll wasn't read, the law wasn't valid. Then John had fear that the purpose of God will not be fulfilled. But the Lamb is worthy to open the scroll. And we have now the entry of the Lamb in verse 6 and 7. And that is very important to look here. John saw the Lamb in a privileged place. Before the throne, before the seven spirits of God, the Lamb crossed the crystal sea and is not destroyed. Why? Because He is God too. The Lamb is in a position where no angel, cherubim, seraphim, or any other creature could not be. We remember the words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 18, say, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The Lamb took the scroll and executed the will of the Father, the purpose of God. And we need to stop here and think. Every death fulfills the will of God. All the history about the history is written on both sides of the scroll. Every detail, every benefit, every good of the church. Where are these brothers in Christ now? I think one of the best tests we can go on to seek comfort is in Philippians 1:23. Philippians 1:23 say, "For I am in a strait, but with to having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And some people confuse themselves because the Bible says that when people die, they go to sleep. We need to understand here the doctrine of the intermediate state. Paul admits that the intermediate state is a lesser glory than the final state of the Christian. Paul says here, to be with Christ is very much better than our present condition. We can really understand this verse. The best test, I think, that we can use for this doctrine is 2 Corinthians 5:8. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we read, "We are confident, I say, I'm willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Present in conscience. "Then the brothers and sisters in Christ that have died are not sleeping now." Sleep is used by Paul and even for our Lord to describe the sweet and personal relationship of the Christians, of the Christian with the Lord. Now in chapter 5, verses 8 to 14, describes the future state of all the children of God. In verse 8, you can see the 24 elders, the four beast creatures, all them have harps. Here it is described for us other symbol. Because the harp in the Jew culture is an instrument of joy. We have a lot of reference in the Bible, for example 2 Samuel 6:5 if you want to go. And also we go now and we find these new songs in verse 9. And some try to argue that new songs are not psalms. We are speaking about the context of worship. But John has not used the word neos for new, that would be the normal. But kainen, that means that these songs are not a new songs, but something familiar between melody and lyrics. Calvin translates this verse, "We will sing all songs from new places." And that song is an echo from the song of Moses in Exodus 15. We see similar things between the two texts in Exodus 15 and Revelation 5:9. The freedom of the people of God from the Egyptians, and now the freedom of the people of God from sin for always. The Lamb redeemed us, not only from a nation, but from all the nations of the earth. The words singing in verse 9 are really important. Say, "Thou art worthy." Why is John writing these words? These words, "Thou art worthy," are the words that the people had to say when they worshiped the emperor and offered him sacrifice. John is saying this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Lamb is worthy. Only him. When we meditate in these two chapters of Revelation, we can see clearly that God is in control of his children. God is sovereign, and his will be fulfilled. The Lamb is our best warranty. The only one who is worthy to open the scroll of God is our mediator. In verse 12, use 7 terms to describe the perfection of the worthy of the Lamb. And numbers in the scriptures are really important. I don't know if you know, but 7 means perfection. And if you look in all the book of Revelation, you can find 7 churches, 7 spirits of God, seven seals, seven cups, seven trumpets, seven plagues. And all that means that the judgment of God is perfect. Finally, in verse 13, all the universe is giving glory to the Father and the Son together, and the Son accept this worship. We know that here in this world there are tears. In hell there are tears. But in heaven there are no tears. That is where our brothers are now. Look with me, Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When the non-believers lose a friend or family member, there is no hope, no consolation. And maybe you are here in this morning sad, but remember what the Lord is teaching us. It is not a goodbye. It is see you later. We will see them. We will see them again. And I would like to finish with the words of Romans 8, verse 37-39. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your words of comfort and consolation this morning. Lord, we put our sadness, our trials before you. And sometimes, Lord, we don't understand some things that happen in our lives. But Lord, we trust you. We know that you have a purpose for every life. We know that you care for your children in life and death. We confess our sins now, and we ask again for mercy. Lord, remember we are dust. Thank you because you are the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, because nothing can separate us from you. Help us until the day of our death to be faithful to you. Lord, you are worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, people and nation. Your name. Amen.